Welcome back to The Deep Dive. Today, we are digging into something that, well, it's a topic that modern businesses are treating less like a temporary fix and more like a core strategic toolkit.
Exactly. A toolkit is the perfect word for it.
We're talking about contingent staffing solutions. So, okay, let's unpack this. We are moving so far beyond that old kind of archaic idea of just temp work.
Miles beyond it.
Our sources show that organizations are using flexible talent, and this is everything from freelancers to fully outsourced teams to get real operational agility to, you know, ensure business continuity and to maintain really strict cost discipline. So our mission here is to sort of pull back the curtain and understand the sophisticated infrastructure behind it all, the systems, the services, everything that makes this rapid, reliable deployment of labor even possible.
And that infrastructure you mentioned, that's the key shift you need to get your head around.
Yeah.
I mean, historically, contingent labor was.
Yeah.
It was an HR headache, right? Something you dealt with when things went wrong.
A reactive measure.
Completely. Today, it's a central pillar of strategic workforce planning. The contingent workforce, so contractors, consultants, outsourced teams, it's no longer just an auxiliary function. It's a deliberately managed pool of talent designed for business velocity and, I think most importantly, for proactive risk management. If you leave this deep dive with just one key idea, it should be this. We're talking about systems. This isn't just about, you know, making a phone call to a staffing agency.
Right.
It's about how organizations structure their access to labor.
Right.
So it's predictable, scalable, and fully compliant, even when the market is anything but predictable. This is the mechanism for controlling your output when chaos reigns.
Absolutely. So let's start with the basics then, the what. What exactly falls under this umbrella and what are the different roles these workers play? Because our sources paint a really broad picture.
Very broad. We're talking independent contractors, traditional temping employees, highly specialized consultants, even entire project teams that are outsourced.
And the power here isn't just about the sheer number of people you can access, right? It's the specialization.
That's the operational advantage. It's tailored precisely to spikes in workload or, you know, predictable seasonality. Or maybe you just need some hyper-specific technical skill for a short time. It allows a company to truly match its labor to the exact need.
Minimizing waste.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're not paying for idle hands. And that level of precision, it only works if the strategic design behind it is sound. All the research points to this. Effective solutions have to align three core factors: talent, compliance, and cost control, all within one unified framework.
So when those three are integrated, what happens?
You get rapid labor deployment and predictable outcomes. You basically remove all the variability and guesswork that plagues the old fragmented ways of finding people.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting for me. Because it's a layered system. We're not just talking about filling an empty chair. The cornerstone is often what's called staff augmentation.
Right.
Which is placing contingent workers directly into your existing teams. And this is so crucial for keeping up performance during, say, an unexpected peak without having to add permanent headcount.
Exactly. But for that to work, the engine behind it, the sourcing engine, has to be incredibly efficient. So the foundational layer is really sourcing and recruitment, where the main goal is just pure speed.
So recruiters are looking for what exactly? Just skills.
Skills, yes. But also, and this is critical, their onboarding readiness. How quickly can they get up to speed? And their location flexibility. The whole point is fast deployment without compromising on capability.
But hold on a second. If we're prioritizing speed and cost control,
yeah,
and you're avoiding the long-term commitments of permanent staff, doesn't that just naturally limit the quality of the talent you can attract? Especially in a tight labor market like today's.
That is a really sharp question. And it's exactly why systemizing this is so important. The sources highlight that the most mature programs, they don't compete on the lowest hourly rate.
Uh-huh.
They compete on the best overall value. So that means consistent onboarding and high assignment completion rates. And those become the key metrics, the KPIs.
So it's about efficiency, not just cheapness.
It's a shift from cheap labor to efficient labor. When it's standardized, your managers spend less time supervising and integrating new people. And that's where the real cost savings come from.
That makes a lot of sense. Okay, so now let's move into the control mechanisms. This is where the strategy really meets governance, because if you're deploying, I don't know, thousands of workers across dozens of sites, the risk profile just skyrockets.
Yeah, absolutely does. And we have to talk about the systems that handle that risk. The first one, for any large company, is almost always the managed service provider model, an MSP.
So what is an MSP in simple terms?
Think of it like an outsourced general contractor, but for your entire flexible labor program.
Okay.
The MSP provides centralized oversight for the whole lifecycle. They coordinate everything from the initial request to picking vendors to onboarding, timesheets, and invoicing. They enforce the same rules everywhere, which is how you stop, 15 different managers from paying 5 different rates for the exact same job.
It cleans all that up. Yeah. And the MSP, it doesn't work in a vacuum, right? It needs a digital backbone. And that brings us to the VMS.
The vendor management system.
Yeah.
The VMS is the tech platform that gives you total visibility and control. It's basically the ERP system, but for your contingent labor.
A single source of truth.
That's the goal. You use the VMS to track assignments, verify hours, consolidate invoices from maybe dozens of vendors into one clean statement, and you store all your compliance documents there. It gets rid of all those messy, fragmented workflows.
That data is great, but let's talk liability. I think the most critical part here for the hiring company is the legal shield provided by payrolling and employer of record support, the EOR.
It's huge. This is what lets managers focus on getting the work done, not on paperwork and legal risk.
So payrolling handles the day-to-day stuff, like wages and taxes.
Right, the mechanics. But EOR certs, that's the real legal insurance policy. They take on the legal responsibility for employment classification, for tax filing, for all of it. The sources had this great example of a construction firm that avoided almost $500,000 in potential misclassification fees.
Just in 1 year.
In a single year. All because the EOR took on that burden.
Wow.
That risk transfer is crucial. I mean, this whole commitment to compliance and risk management, it's non-negotiable. The penalties are just too severe. So when you ask why companies build this whole elaborate infrastructure, the answer is operational resilience. It's a controlled system to keep things running, even under extreme stress.
That brings us to the market forces. I mean, why is this so essential now? The story of the last few years really comes into play here, doesn't it?
It really does.
The primary driver has to be agility and scalability, especially in this, volatile post-2020 economy. Companies need to expand or contract staffing levels fast, super fast, to handle spikes in production, erratic schedules, sudden shifts in customer demand, anything, really. And they need to do it without the bureaucratic drag of traditional hiring.
And you touched on the cost side earlier. It's a powerful financial model.
Oh, absolutely. You're avoiding all those long-term fixed costs of permanent staff healthcare, retirement, all the benefits that you pay for, regardless of demand. With contingent labor, your investment aligns precisely with what you're actually using. It's the ultimate just-in-time staffing solution.
And what about specialized expertise?
That's a fascinating angle. You get access to these high-skill experts, a specialized tradesperson for a plant shutdown or a data analyst for a quick project, and it massively improves your project velocity without bloating your fixed labor costs all year. You rent the brain power when you need it.
And connecting this back to volatility, this must play a massive role in operational continuity. During disruption, I'm thinking labor shortages, high turnover, industrial actions, those can cripple a business overnight. That's right. Contingent staffing gives you a structured pipeline for replacement personnel. And our sources actually highlighted a very specific high-level function here, contingency and strike staffing.
Right. I found that fascinating.
This is where specialized providers supply large, pre-vetted, qualified groups of workers, sometimes hundreds of them, to maintain stability during major labor disruption. It's the ultimate insurance policy against a complete production shutdown.
It really shifts the perception, doesn't it? Flexible labor goes from being an HR cost center to a genuine C-suite topic. It's about managing labor risk just like you'd manage supply chain risk.
Exactly.
And you see the strategy applied everywhere, in seasonal operations for warehousing or retail, right? Stabilizing throughput for the holidays,
yeah.
Or huge project-based work like a technology deployment, and then just simple emergency needs when absenteeism spikes.
Yeah, and it's fundamental now to key industries, manufacturing, logistics, utilities, healthcare, transportation. Mm-hmm. They all rely on this flexible capacity to adapt instantly.
So if an organization goes all in, they invest in the MSP, the VMS, the EOR services. How do we know if it's actually working? Our listener, is always looking for those measurable outcomes.
And they should be. The evaluation really focuses on four main areas: workforce stability, productivity, cost performance, and compliance. If the system is working, you should see clear, positive trends in all four.
What are the specific KPIs?
You're looking at things like time to fill. How fast can you get someone in place? A delay there is lost production. You track assignment completion rates, worker reliability. A strong program should prevent service failures. Mm. If you see high turnover in the first few weeks of an assignment, that's a huge red flag.
It signals a deeper problem.
A structural issue, yeah. a weak talent pipeline, or poor vetting, or maybe the on-site readiness just isn't there. It's a flaw in the strategy itself.
So a high-performing program is never improvised. It has to be intentionally structured from the very beginning.
Long before a job is even posted, yes.
It starts with workload forecasting and demand mapping. Companies analyze their historical data, their production cycles, any potential disruptions, and they create what's called a labor blueprint.
A blueprint that defines the skill sets, the duration, the headcount ranges they'll need. It's predictive. It stops the company from being reactive and paying a premium for last-minute hires.
And then comes vendor selection,
which has to be incredibly rigorous. You can't just go with the lowest bidder. You have to evaluate their capabilities, their speed, and especially their compliance processes. You need clear rate structures, mandatory safety protocols, and performance metrics that hold them accountable.
And finally, once you find the worker, they have to be productive from day one.
Or as close to it as possible. That's where a structured onboarding and job site readiness process comes in. Site-specific training, safety protocols, getting them access. It's about reducing that early turnover and getting them up the productivity curve fast.
So what does this all mean when you put it together?
It means we are seeing the final full integration of contingent staffing into business continuity planning. A workforce interruption is now treated like any other operational risk, like a fire or a flood. Companies are using this structured access to labor to stabilize their output no matter what's going on.
It's both a growth mechanism and a protective measure.
A non-negotiable one at that.
So what we've walked through today really confirms this. This fundamental, irreversible shift toward hybrid workforce models. The goal isn't to keep the contingent workforce separate anymore.
Not at all. It's to design a single blended model for maximum efficiency and adaptability.
The hybrid balance is key then.
It is. Your permanent staff provides stability and that deep institutional knowledge, but your contingent workers provide the scale, the speed, and the specialization you need on demand. When you combine those two pools seamlessly, you get lower fixed costs and faster project execution, all without sacrificing capability.
The ultimate goal, as the sources put it, has shifted from managing separate categories to simply aligning the right type of worker with the right task.
Irrespective of their employment status.
Right.
So here's the final thought to mull over. If workforce strategies are moving toward this complete blending, and we're seeing highly specialized experts choosing project-based work with all these EOR protections, how much longer until the distinction between a permanent and a contingent role becomes, well, irrelevant for that top-tier talent? The market is increasingly defined by the task, not the term limit.
A truly provocative question to end on. That is all the time we have for this deep dive. We hope you feel thoroughly informed and maybe ready to think about your own organization's labor blueprint in a new light. Thank you for joining us.